It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
I'm too heavy for the cockpit. I'll track the whole plane down.
Houston Namuli joins us. We're live here at BYU Media Day. Air Force may not be in the future for Houston Namuli.
Me and you, you're my gunner.
Can I be wingman?
I'm trying to scoot the seat back. Like, Houston, man, like square up.
My knees are already up.
Oh. That jet's tipping. It'll be like this. It's vertical if I'm in the back seat there.
It just keeps nosing down.
Might not even take off, to be honest.
We run out of gas. I can't get it past 20 miles an hour.
God, dump the loads. Dump him, Uli.
The plane's going to be in the water right off the boat.
The minimum speed is 180.
I'll just eject myself.
You see the handles? Pull them. Yeah, but we're not in jeopardy. I know.
Trust me. Pull them. Trust me.
It's for the best. Oh, man. All right. So coming from Stanford, now here to BYU, what's that transition been like for you?
It's been actually pretty smooth in the sense of, like, environment. You know, yeah. I know a lot of players here previously. I knew a couple of the coaches previously, so it's kind of easy coming in there. But football-wise and scheme-wise, you know, it's just getting used to a whole new offense. You know, this offense has so many moving pieces and so many responsibilities. It's very dynamic. It's a very, way, very dynamic offense.
It's way dynamic. We were talking to Roderick, and I put a plug in for you. I was like, so how are we going to do the triple fullback set? Like, how's this going to work? And he got all serious, and he's like,
Fessy just stands up and walks away. he said,
how are we going to get this triple fullback set going? And he said, he looked at me and goes, look, one secret I'm going to unfold for you and for Scotty is you will see Houston and Mason on the field together. I don't divulge anything, but he's like, we are going to do some things.
Just know it's happening because I saw Fessy just walking away. Yeah. I tell him all the time, like, hey, Fess, when am I going to be out there in the slot? When am I gonna, if we need an extra guy, don't worry, I got you, bro. I'm virtually like Puka.
Yeah. I'm a very powerful Puka.
I'm a very short Puka.
Yeah.
Well, A-Rod talked about, you know, giving the ball to a fullback is job security because Kalani wants fullbacks involved in a big way because that hits close to home for him. Oh, I got to imagine when, you know, you hit the portal and Kalani's talking. He's like, come on, fullback, you got to come back. Come on. we need one of our own here.
He was like one of the first guys to reach out to. You know, it's comes up. As soon as I hit the portal, you know, I get a call from Kalani. He's like, hey, like, what's your thoughts? I was kind of just feeling out the waters.
Yeah.
Because I was debating between whether I go ahead and try for it, you know, try for pro or have one more year of college football. And I'll join one more. It's college football. You never have it again.
Yeah.
You never have it again.
And that's such a unique experience. So much different than the professional game. Like any professional league you'll find, it's just so much different. The camaraderie's so much stronger. How tough was that to leave, you know, the guys that you'd grown up with at Stanford? Was that difficult to leave the team?
I feel like that was the hardest part. You know, like I said, I saw all these guys grow up.
Yeah.
Like metaphorically, physically, from freshmen to seniors. You know, I was with all these guys. And so it was a hard goodbye in that sense, you know. Yeah, that was probably the toughest part about leaving Stanford.
But, you know, overall, I remember watching the video of you going out at the Marriott Center. I was like, people are going to love this dude, man. It didn't take long for you to become a full-fledged BYU fan favorite.
Yeah, no, I just, meow. Transform.
Yeah.
Transformer.
What was the video? The what?
Well, they bring the guys out at half court, and Emma just grabs the mic like, I got this. Yeah. Like, everybody just...
So,
or not Houston, sorry.
Oh, it's all good.
Yeah.
We get confused all the time.
Because Emma, we interact with Emma all the time on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You may not know this. Emma's quite active on Twitter.
Sometimes he's too active. I got to tell him, hey, man, like, he's my personal PR guy on Twitter. He
knows what the LFG means. Is he knows that?
Oh, he knows what it means. But he still says it.
Any acronym that I need, like, what would Hema say? Okay, there we
LFG,
go.
LFG.
I'm using that thing, man, because him is the man. So you walked out on the court and just took the mic and rolled, huh?
So here's the backstory. Most people don't know this. So we all pull up in the backcourt, like, hey, you guys better go on. Who wants to speak? And it's like a line of us. And I was like, cool, I'll let the youngins speak. Like, I'm 25. Like, it's their time to shine. Let them do whatever. Literally every head keeps looking back, and then I turn my head and there's nothing, so I turn back like, crap. It was just a wall behind me. I was like, okay, well.
Here we go.
I got you guys.
I love it, man. I love the play off of the Hemuli poster. Did you redo the poster?
Yeah.
We did, yeah. We redid the poster.
Where did that come from? Where did that idea come from?
So actually, Hemuli.
Because that's uncle, right?
So that one's my dad, Lockay.
Okay.
And so my brother pitched me the idea mainly because, you know, we saw the poster. We want to recreate it. And then, you know, the disaster happened in Tonga. And he said, hey, like, if we're going to do this, like, let's make it towards something. Like, let's make it towards something worth it. And so that's why we decided to pull it all together and then throw the proceeds at Tonga.
So knowing that this is your COVID year, knowing this is going to be it at the collegiate level. Do you appreciate things a little bit more knowing that the light's at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those things where every day I know I'm like, hey, you know what? This is one day I'm not going to have any more in college football. You know, this is my last off season. This is my last June. This is my last July. You know, every day I'm always like, dang, like kind of trying to soak it all in, take every moment I have with these guys here and enjoy it.
Does that make you work harder?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's more purpose. You know, it's easy to get lost in, like, I got more time, but you don't.
Because Mason was talking about running arena steps here in a bit, and he was like, it's not the most enjoyable thing, but you got to get it done.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely not enjoyable. But like you said, got to have it done. And then the best part is after you do something hard with your brothers, with your teammates, it's the most rewarding feeling. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you do something hard, you guys beat that goal, you guys get it done. Oh, you're on cloud nine.
You look at each other and you know that you're the only ones that just went through that.
Exactly.
And it wasn't enjoyable. We don't want this to be for all for nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it builds you to that top goal.
Exactly. It's like a runner's high, but football high. Mm-hmm. You know, it's something that I always love.
You looking forward to this schedule? I mean, it's a...
Oh, it's a doozy.
It is.
Yeah. Is there a game circled?
Oh, I got several games circled.
Yeah, you got a couple.
You know, every Pac-12 team is on my mark for sure.
Sure.
Arkansas, I know that's a great team, and I know that's going to be one of the best challenges we have. Baylor. Baylor's a top. We should have beat Baylor last year.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying is Baylor's on my – pretty much every team's on my mark because I know that we need to win every game.
Yeah.
And we need to have victories. So I'm marking everyone. And going to Stanford to finish it all off, couldn't have it any other way.
Did you, when you were looking at BYU, did you look at the schedule and be like, are they playing Stanford? Oh, they are playing Stanford.
I did peek it.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, heck yeah.
Let's
just
go.
I just let them know that he's always still running things even when he's not in Stanford.
I love it, man. How about the Notre Dame game in Vegas? That's got to be a big
one. Notre Dame. That's a team I've played every year at Stanford. You know, I've played like every single year we played them. It's like a rivalry there.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm looking forward to seeing those guys again. And, you know, I think this is the team that can beat Notre Dame. This is the team that can hang.
In an NFL arena, pretty awesome as well.
Yeah.
Arena / stadium / indoor / Roomba. What are they calling that thing?
It does look like a giant Roomba, like that little vacuum cleaner that goes around your house.
So I've never been there to the hockey stadium, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
No, I haven't been to that one.
It's impressive. Yeah, it's not bad.
Have you played in an NFL stadium?
We played in the Cowboys stadium when I was at Stanford versus Kansas State.
Okay. So you kind of get the feel for that. That it should be a pretty fun event.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, BYU has the crowd that shows up to everything.
Yeah.
BYU has the fan base. That just always impresses me. And even when I was over at that school, everyone's like, whoa, do you see this game BYU's in? I'm like, what game? Any game. They're like, dude, there's so many white and so many, like, blue. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's how they are.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's how they roll.
And Keanu Hill's over your shoulder.
I was going to ask you a question about receivers.
about Keanu Hill. Oh, sorry. Didn't know you were behind me. My bad.
Keanu's back there nodding in agrees. They go,
well, I show him a lot of things. All of his footwork comes off of me. Keanu tried to model his playing style after me, but it's all right.
I can see Houston walking up to Fessy and like, hey, Fessy, if you want to take a break. All right, so what we're going to do.
You're struggling coming out of that break a little bit.
Yeah, so I know. Hey, Keanu, let me show you what's up, dude. So your plant.
I bet the statement, the way we used to do it at Stanford, is always that's always a positive statement.
I don't like using that statement because we went 3-9. So I don't use that statement.
You are making, I'm sure, a lot of pleas to get involved in the screen game a little bit, though. I mean, come on, let's go.
Hey, all I do is I trust Aaron A-Rod.
Yeah,
I
know good answer.
He has a mind that, you know, even I'm like, oh, would never have thought of that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to leave that to you. I'll just make sure I'm ready to do whatever you ask me to do.
It's kind of a creative, fun staff, isn't it?
My goodness.
The way they work offensively, because you've got so many unique angles with really, is it three offensive coordinators? I think Steve Clark was an offensive coordinator.
I believe so.
Fessy.
Yep.
A-Rod. Coach Funk wasn't. Harvey hasn't been. But, you know, you got a lot of offensive coordinating minds.
Yeah.
That are kind of putting their minds together, and you can tell there's really no egos in that coaching staff.
Oh, no, and they're, like I said, they're amazing coaches. And I work very closely with Clark.
Yeah.
You know, and Clark is, even in his own right, you know, the tight end mind.
Oh, yeah.
It's amazing. You know, he actually coached my brother when he was at Weber State.
That's so right.
You know, that's a good question. Like, you know, fullback seems to be a dying breed a little bit in college football. Mm-hmm. So when you're hanging out in a room, it sounds like you're working with the tight ends more maybe than with the running backs, or do you work with both a little bit?
So mainly right now I'm in the tight end room.
Okay.
At Stanford, it was tight ends and fullbacks and running backs. So I have like kind of a little exposure to both rooms. And you're right, you know, fullback is a dying position, or it was dying. I feel like there's going to be a resurgence. You know,
yeah.
I feel like the game always kind of goes through the circle where, you know, they're all stopping this sort of offense. So what do we bring in? Let's bring in someone to clear the way, you know, and I think that's coming back.
And if, you know, Brooks gets tripped up on a 50-yard run at the 1-yard line, you'd be more than happy to punch that in for him.
You know what? I might even ask Chris, like, hey, man, I know you're going to break this. Just give me a shot.
Could you nail it at the launch?
Can you trip, in quotations, trip?
I'll park that car in the driveway. We got that.
Chris, I got $100 for you. Just don't make this touchdown.
Look, I'm going to give you a suggestion. If it's just not going your way, call something for yourself in the huddle. Just be like, hey, guys, I don't know if you know this, but my name is Houston Henley, and I am in charge.
So, Jaron, A-Rod just told me that don't check with him. Don't check with him.
No, it's fine.
I heard what he said.
Yeah. Hey, do college quarterbacks have the headsets yet? Do they got the headsets in their helmets?
They do. Oh, at least I don't know.
I don't know if they've got them yet. Oh, I was wondering if they have transitioned that.
I don't think they've transitioned yet, okay, from what I know, because I know it's still signals and.
I'm going to say you could break those out. Mm.
Yeah. Like,
what's that? You're not getting the plays?
I got it.
I pulled the cord. Hey, Jaron, don't worry. I got you.
Hey, I saw you out here a week or so ago working these youth camps. You like working with the youth?
Oh, you know what? It was a great experience.
Because I saw you with a big smile on your face running around from drill to drill.
Because some of them, you know, it's fun watching the kids who are just starting to get a hold of football. And then I was thinking to myself, I'm like, dang, was that me? I'm like, oh, that was me. Like, I was this kid.
Yeah.
So it was fun. And kids also have a very honest mind. So they say things automatically. And no matter how much it hurts, I'm like, dang it. I know it's the truth. But
well, you're right.
Oh, man.
Kids have no filter.
No, they're ruthless.
So it makes it really fun to work with kids.
And you've got a younger brother.
I do, yeah. He's
baby brother.
He's actually in high school right now. He's going into his senior year. So the last of the Hamulis.
The last of the
Hamulis. The last of them.
That's awesome.
Thank goodness. So too many running around. Too many of us right now.
Incredible lineage, though, for sure, of football players and just overall good dudes. But we appreciate you coming by, and got a sneaking suspicion we're going to hear more from you throughout the year. So.
You know, and that's – I hope so.
Yeah. The BYU fan is demanding it. This isn't our decision.
If you haven't already gotten a request, you're going to get a request. Let's just say that.
Hey.
That's the BYU fans demanding it. And we've been putting in plugs. We put in one for Keanu. No calls yet. But, look, if you're a business out there, if you're a business out there and you need somebody to really represent that brand, I think Houston's got the backing of Hema, and I think together they can make anything pop.
Yep, let's
just
go.
Just bring those dollars. Bring the
whatever,
money.
Whatever talent you need, I'll sing for you.
Available for birthday parties.
Are you
bachelorette jet parties? Whatever.
Are you locker room sing guy?
I am a singing guy. Well, oh, yeah. Until my voice got like the allergies, and again, my voice is crazy.
Oh,
but
no.
Until then, I still go play the uke for you. Don't worry. Whoever needs a brown uke player.
So if we some pictures, photo ops. If we do get to hear from you through the season, I expect at least one ukulele and song.
Oh yeah, for sure.
In an interview, at least one.
That's Don't worry, Temptations is my go to for songs. So
nice.
Oh, the Temptations.
Temptations, yeah, that's a classic.
Wow. All right,
we're down for sure.
We'll expect it.
Well, Houston, appreciate it, man. Say hi to your brother for us.
Of course.
And, thanks, Houston.
Looking forward to catching up with you throughout the year. That's Houston Haymooley right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Joined now by Raphael Barlow, owner, author, and director of scouting of the NBA Big Board newsletter. I guess the first question is, if the Jazz move in, do you think there's a chance they'll be in the first half of the first round?
Fortunately, the only way the Jazz will probably get into the top half of the first round is if you move Gobert or Mitchell. And I know there's a bunch of trade speculation and rumors surrounding both guys. I personally don't think either one gets moved. I think Gobert just makes a lot of money while he does have a lot of value. I think only a few teams can actually really make it work where it makes sense for both sides, and then Mitchell's just too young to trade. So I think the Jazz would have a hard time getting into the top of the first round.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hans and Scotty live here at BYU Media Day. Thanks for making us part of your Wednesday. Out and about, last BYU Media Day in this current form. We'll be all in Dallas next year for Big 12 Media Day.
I've got like 5 or 6 tweets of people saying, where is the 60 in 60?
Well, it's a good question, and we have your answer for you. It's right now. Let's make our latest announcement. It is today's Top 60 in 60.
Here we go.
Now let's get this party started.
This is the Top 60 in 60. As the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 college football season. And now it's time for today's selection as voted on by the local sports media and you, the fan.
We stay on the hill for another Utah player to make the list of 60 with a young player that jumped on the scene last year for the Utes and is primed to take another leap in his sophomore season. At number 51 from the University of Utah, 6'2", 175-pound safety, Zamaya Vaughn.
University of Utah head coach Kyle Whittingham.
Zamaya Vaughn, converted quarterback out of high school. We moved him to corner when he got to campus. That was the plan when we recruited him. He knew that, and he's embraced that role, and he is going to be outstanding. The ceiling for Zamaya is very high.
This is the Top 60 in 60, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. Top 60 in 60 on 97.5, 1280, The Zone.
All right, 60 and 60 coming in today, Zamaya Vaughn, a guy that kind of flew under the radar a little bit, and we felt like we needed to have him on the list, and then when Kyle Whittingham saw the list, Hans, I think he was pleased that he was there for sure.
He was, and this is a projection, 100%. It's a projection. He had some games. I think he had one game that he had two tackles for a loss. If I remember right, it was against Stanford. That was the film that I went through, and I think he had like six or seven tackles in that game. So he's had moments where Utah has really seen what he can do, and he's kind of a versatile defender. You know, he can play man on set. He can play more as a bird dog in the backfield. So, you know, there are a lot of things that he can do, but very deserving of his number 51 selection for sure.
So there you go. Top 60 and 60. Yeah, you eat all you want, man. Throw that headset on. So, Puka, you like this story. A few years ago, Puka Nacua joins us. You can steal all the candy we want because back in the day, Taysom Hill came by with a big bag of M&Ms. And Hans stole the M&Ms from Taysom Hill. So it's kind of going full circle a little bit.
That's fair.
That's how it goes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
If you would have brought candy to the table, and I'd have been eyeballing your candy.
It would have been for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's just we would all share it. So feel free to eat some of the candy.
Thank you. Yeah, I haven't really had much to eat.
Just not
I
all.
I should have.
Hey, where did you get the hat? Is that off Ty Detmer?
No, I wish. It's one I haven't seen by my friends. He runs a Vinci's clothing company. He's like, you got any old BYU hats? And this is what he gave me. So
that's
it's
old.
Pretty sweet. Yeah, yeah, I haven't seen one like this. So.
How far back does that go, Scott?
Yeah, that looks like 86, 87 there.
That is a classic throwback, man.
Thank you.
Your buddy made it?
No, I believe it's a thrift he found.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So it's not like he recreated it.
No,
this is really old school. All right.
How hard is it going into the season without your brother? That had to have been a fun year last year.
One of the best times of my life. Some memories I'll never forget. Obviously, the Utah game for Samson was a huge one. To be a part of that here at the school and then to be a part of that with Samson was amazing. And then, obviously, the Virginia game will be my favorite college football game of all time. We had the same stats, both a touchdown, and we had one of the best, I think one of the highest scoring games in BYU history. And we got the dub. So just so many memories together last year was so fun. All the time we spent together. And to do it with my brother playing the same position, it was like a movie. To be a part of it was so cool. But definitely has made it tough. Gunner's had to fill that role a little bit. He lost their brother as well. So we're kind of in a similar spot right there.
Yeah.
Except he got his younger brother came in. So I don't know if my little brother is ready to come in yet. But hopefully, maybe we'll see.
Well, I got to imagine it's interesting. You know, you're at Washington and probably not having the success that you would have liked early on your first 2 years. You come home, you're closer to family, you're playing with your brother. Did that just take a lot of weight off your shoulders and I can just go out and have some fun?
I think, yeah, it was a huge weight. And then just being able to come back closer, like to feel familiar in a comfortable place, just with my family and then obviously with my brother. He's somebody that's seen my development through my entire career, and to have him always to be there, supportive for me, and obviously competing with each other, it made it super fun. And yeah, it did make it playing football back here 10 times easier with all the people that I know and to be around just familiar faces and then people that have seen me perform really well, and the standard that they held me to made my standard rise, making sure that every time I go out there, I'm competing at my highest level.
So obviously, the receiver room is still stacked, plenty of talent. Even with your brother and a couple of others leaving, it's absolutely stacked. How competitive is that room getting, that receiver's room for you know, for targets and reps? I was asking the same thing of Keanu, and I just look at the amount of targets that you got in there. How competitive is it?
It's super competitive. We got a really good group, and it makes me super excited to see how everybody's been developing, how our spring ball went, how summer workouts have been going. Just the relief I feel like we can help with Jaren, because having somebody back there that can throw the rock like he can and the athleticism that he beholds, it's going to make our job easier. We just got to make sure that we continue to execute. We got to, just like you had mentioned, we got a long list of guys that can go out there and snag the ball. So it'll be fun to see everybody go out there and do what they do best, but then also making sure that our competitiveness is keeping us at the highest level.
So between you and Gunner and Keanu, then you got your tight ends with Rex if it gets back healthy, and then you throw Houston in the mix and Mason Wake. I think Aaron Roderick described it well. He goes, we can throw some funky lineups out there.
Yeah, we really can. Mason and Houston are would be a scary sight to see out there. But then with the running backs that we have, we got big body receivers. We have different style of receivers. And then I think about, I mean, you can never forget our old linemen. People forget about our old linemen. Those are some of the best athletes on our team right now, and we got a good handful of those guys who could go out there and make a play. Kingsley, I mean, Blake Freeland used to play basketball. The Barrington brothers could get out there and move really well. So I'm sure. I hope we see one of those guys catch a touchdown this year.
If you could play another position on a football field, what would it be, Puba?
I say safety, probably. Safety or outside linebacker. I think I could. I would love to beef up one day and kind of get in there
like
trenches. I don't know if I'd hit like Kai. I'd say I'm a better ball hawk than Kai. I'd be able to play the hands. No, I'm getting PBUs and interceptions only. I got a whole island. I'll take the half of the field.
But you're not going to do it into next week like Kai.
No, that's not in my playbook.
Who's the toughest Nakua in the house? Because you got four brothers. There are four of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the toughest in there? Just five boys?
Yeah, five boys, one girl.
Boy, imagine it. Imagine the guy coming up to date. That dude didn't have a chance.
I'd probably say I have to say my brother Isaiah. He's right. He's older than my brother, older than Samson, but younger than Kai. He's the biggest out of all of us. He played D lineman at Tim Few. He was here at BYU for a little bit, but didn't end up playing. But he's for sure. Yeah, he's probably 6'3", probably 260, maybe 270. That D lineman, yeah, thick. And he's the biggest out of all of us. So, and he's always moved with us, so he's really athletic. So it makes it like even worse that like we help shape him, like shape the beast that he is.
What was? I mean, I gotta imagine like you know the backyard games and stuff like that. I mean, I gotta imagine there's probably some broken bones and bloody noses.
Yeah, bloody nose. That's why I feel like me being the youngest. I mean, I have one younger brother. We'll see what he's got in store, but I feel like they molded me into the perfect beast. I got all the butt whippings as much as it was always, I got the little brother syndrome. When I thought I was playing the best game of my life, they were like, all right, little bro, it's time for you to get put back in your spot. Let's go. And then they'd rough me up and then I'd lose the game and I'd be mad for the next month until I won again. Just never happened.
Were you guys watching the bowl brawl when Kai broke out in the fight?
Yes, actually, me and my mom were out there. We were out there at that game. That was...
you were in the stadium?
Yeah, that was so crazy to like witness it, and then I'm out of nowhere. I just see, oh, that's my brother's bleeding face on the big screen right there.
That was a big brawl, man.
Yeah, that was wild. Yeah, my mom.
Were you trying to get up? Your mom was like, "No, Puka, no."
No, yeah, my mom was having a panic attack. But,
I that's probably the one person Kai was scared about afterwards. He was talking to mom.
That one was a tough one. Although that was like a true mother instinct. I don't think I've ever seen my mom so worried, like that she had no control over what was going on. But that was one Kai doesn't forget for sure.
Well, it's. Watching this offense and seeing how special you guys can be, you know, BYU's always seemed like had the chip on the shoulder, like it's us versus the world. But now everybody's like heaping praise, preseason top 25, tons of guys that, you know, people are expecting could be drafted. Is it a mindset that you guys have to shift in preparation, realize like, oh, no, we're the big dog. We don't need to act like little brother anymore. We're the big dog here, and we need to go out there and act like it.
I think so. It's definitely been a mentality shift of, like you were saying, of acting like the big dog. And I feel like that's always kind of been here, but it's now of like not necessarily vocalizing it outward, but making sure that the way we operate is making sure that we feel like the big dog. Everything that we're doing in the weight room, everything that we're doing in our PRPs, our summer workouts is a confidence boost for us. So when we get out there and play football, we just have to go out there and play football. We're not worried about if a school thinks we're bigger than them or whatever outside of football is being talked about. If we can go out there and focus just about football, I'd put us up against the best in the country.
How does it go the first time you lock up with a corner's trying to play up on top of you and put hands on you in a game? Like, how does that relationship go? And at what point do you figure, all right, I've got this guy. I know I've set him up. I know what he's about. He's fake tough guy or he is tough guy.
Yeah. I think DB is one of the – you have to be a tough guy to play that position. It's so difficult, and it kills me to say that because I think playing wide receiver is the hardest position. You have to be the most skilled. But I think it comes in the run game for me. So that's something that I found. In the pass reps, It's a different kind of a pace to it, but being able to set up, just like you said, to win certain releases for actual passing plays all comes from the run game, of how he's going to play me in the run game, if he's going to sag off, or is he going to let me get a free block that can boost us for another 10-yard play, or if I can set up my release for the play that we're coming up. Everything, I think, the run game as a wide receiver is much more important than you would think it would be.
That's interesting. You don't think about that a lot, but in that run play, you know you can throw a couple of jabs, give him a couple of looks, put the hands on him, and set him up for something.
Exactly. Being physical with them in the run game, it makes it the pass game that much easier, because as much as they get to hit us while we're out here passing or getting in releases, you put hands on them during the run game, and we're a 70-80 play offense. That's not fun after we get to play 70.
What's it like, though, when you've worked on a guy all game long and the play calling is set up for one moment, and you get the lineup, you know, you see the alignment you like, and you know your guy's playing a certain way, and before snap, you're like, I got you.
Yeah.
I mean, what's that like?
That's so fun. I literally, as you were saying, I was thinking about a play in the Georgia Southern game we had last year. I think it was my second touchdown of the game, but we'd been dicing them up, hitting some short stuff, and Tyler had been killing them on the inside. So they're playing it, and then we kind of hit a tempo play out of nowhere, I think after maybe like a 4-yard gain to the left hash, and then we had thrown a touchdown pass right after. And they kind of gave us in the run game, they're playing off, trying to help maybe in a cover 4 look, trying to play the run and see if they could stop Tyler. And then we hit him with no huddle, and he was off coverage, and I had a go route. And if he can't see where the ball's coming, I'll take that throw every day of the week.
I love that tempo stuff. And Scotty and I talked a lot about that. The Aaron Roderick tempo is so unpredictable. How helpful is that on the field?
In that example, I think it's huge, of being able to use that to our advantage and making sure that as long as everybody on the offense is operating at the same page, I think that's one of our most lethal weapons.
Expectations. Do you guys set like goals in terms of points, in terms of, I mean, obviously you want to win every game, but like, what are there like tangible offensive goals that you set going into a season?
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely marks that we believe that we should be able to hit. Obviously, with Coach A-Rod being our OC and the style of offense he wants to run, scoring points is definitely something that we pride ourselves in being able to do. And last year, we put up some big games where we were scoring a lot of points, and then we put up some games where we didn't score where we wanted to. So making sure that we're consistent across the board and scoring consistently in the red zone, the lack of turnovers and self-inflicting penalties, holding calls, false starts, and stuff like that. Nothing really number-wise, just stuff that we know that we can take care of, just like those penalties and making sure that, execution is key to our offense.
Yeah, I asked Keanu this question, and I'm curious, in your position where you've gone through so much, you've been in a couple different programs, and you know, you've really had an opportunity to see different offenses and what you can do inside those offenses. At the end of this season, this last season, what is it that you looked at and you said, man, I got to do better? I can't. This has to improve.
My quick game and my intermediate routes was something that, going back on film, where I feel like as I've gone into college, I've put on some weight being a receiver, being over 210 pounds, I'm a little bit of a bigger guy. So being able to make sure that my flexibility and my mobility in my lower half was something that I lacked. And I think that's affected my quick game and my intermediate route running. So that's been something that I've been trying to work on. And then,
so are you talking about like your 5-yard digs, or you're talking about cuts?
I'd say everything under 15. And yeah, just that quick game, making sure my cuts are more efficiently. I'm not getting stuck in certain routes. If I'm running a curl route, that I can be as explosive as I feel like I can be in the break, as fast as I can explosive out of the break, and making sure I can move as efficiently. My job as a receiver is to go out there and catch the ball, but I also try to do it as efficiently. There's a timing that we have to our offense and making sure I get those things down. But mobility, and then obviously I feel like people know me as a deep ball threat, but I feel like there are a lot of deep balls I also left out there in this past season. So making sure that the things that I did do well, I can improve on that as well.
How about as a blocker?
Huge. As a big guy, that's something I pride myself in. In a matchup with any corner, I'll take that. You can run the ball my way any time of the week. At Washington, that's how I got my first starting plays, was me cracking the DN. And I may have hurt my head and shoulder, but it worked out somehow.
Well, I just remember, I call the games for Utah State, and that second half when you guys kind of pulled back a little bit, But ultimately Algier with that big run, and I'm looking at receivers, I'm like, these dudes are just locking up these DBs on the outside. I mean, this is, you know, to I know it's not a touchdown catch or a big reception, but when Tyler Algier has a big run, or Brooks, hopefully this year, and you're able to spring that block that gets that, that's going to be almost as much fun.
Yeah, no, it's almost more fun because it's like a man-on-man. Obviously, you catch a touchdown one-on-one, like that's a great feeling, but the physical part of dominating somebody else, there's nothing like that in football. If I get to pancake you, you're going to hear about it, and I won't forget about it either.
Hey, take me to that moment. One of the more exciting plays last year, that Tyler Algier strip. What was that like? You were on the field, right?
Yep. Darren was throwing me the ball, actually.
Yes, yeah. I knew you were a part of that play, and Algier goes and rips that thing out.
That it was – so crazy to witness it, like right in front of my eyes. I just know, like, I had emotion come back, and that Jaren's getting sacked, and he throws the ball, and then just like seeing the guy pick it, like kind of right in front of me, I'm like, oh shoot, now we got to tackle this guy for. And then out of nowhere, like I'm exhausted, and I just see Tyler hit like this next level burst of just energy, and then literally like. It was like a WWE move. Like, he was getting ready to suplex him while he jumped on his back, and just like the perfect punch out. Like, that was one of the coolest plays I've ever been a part of, for sure.
It's one of the coolest plays I've ever seen. One of the more incredible things I've ever seen.
Well, Puka, we appreciate you coming by, man. Always fun catching up with you. Good luck this upcoming season.
Can't wait to see you, man.
There you go. Puka Nacua right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Before we go to break, let's give away some tickets, shall we? We got tickets to... your chance to see Santana and Earth, Wind & Fire June 28th at USANA Amphitheater. Get your seats at LiveNation.com, your concert connection, or be calling number 12 right now, 801-575-5967. We'll wrap things up. Get you ready for Unrivaled. Alex and Scott just hanging out, getting ready to take over. Coming up at 3 right here on the 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Watch the breakdown.
It's the 8th annual Top 60 and 60.
3, 2, 1.
60 and 60.
It's go time.
Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2022 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah.
60 and 60.
As voted on by the local media and you, the fans. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60. Weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union, where your future is our future. On your home for the best college football coverage in Utah, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Woo! Woo! Woo!
All right, wrapping up another edition of the show. Hans and Scotty Unrivaled coming up in just mere moments from now. It's a fun one today, Hans. A lot of good conversations.
Back-to-back shows that are kind of unique and interesting and a lot of fun. Yesterday, Dana White and Ryan Smith. Today, we've got the entire staff and team of BYU, and it's fun to bring these stories to people and try to bring questions that inspire interesting answers that people have questions too. So I love days like this.
About how Fessy Satake likes to prepare the horse that he eats. Yeah, that's deep down. That's the only kind of stuff you're going to get right here on the Zone.
I feel attacked.
No, I'm not. I was right here with you, man.
Like, I thought it was some of the best stuff we got out there.
I agree.
When
Low and slow, mayonnaise.
When Elisa Tuiaki said, there is no greater honor than to be eaten after you've been ridden. Talking about the horse that he rode.
Maybe
rode all day.
Let's rearrange how we structure our sentences, shall we?
I was dying. I couldn't even believe it. But so much fun from these guys. And
well, Trigger, we've had a good run.
You were a good horse. I'm only two.
Why are you carrying that 22?
And I'm excited to kind of talk about some of the things that we're doing with these podcasts and other things. And to get the lawsuit going with BYU, because that's in the works.
Okay. You really want to do this to your alma mater?
They had a chair that broke underneath me. My back is injured, and I'm suing.
You've already had continuous headaches. Yeah. Emotional distress.
Got whiplash. Banged my head pretty good. Pretty serious concussion. I did not have a concussion through all my years of football. And here I am with one broken chair, and now I feel nauseous, and I can't remember your last name.
I bet I have a bunch of drops about you talking about how you already suffered it.
You've been claiming CTE for a while.
Forever.
Lloyd, I'm going to need you to bury that for litigation's sake. Just
that's help. All okay. going to come out in
what's
discovery.
What's in it for me?
Help me out on this case. Whatever comes out of this thing, we'll see, Lloyd. We'll see where this takes us financially.
10%.
But so much fun today. By the way, final BYU Independence Media Day. I got to just say, you've all done an amazing job throughout the last 10 years rolling out these independent media days. Those aren't easy. I know they're expensive. I know that they're high time maintenance, trying to get all the players at the right booths at the right time. And Brett Pine and Kenny and Duff and everybody else that puts in their time, they've killed it, Scotty.
Well, no.
They really have.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I go back to the very first one that they did. You know, it's 2011, and we're all wondering, wow, BYU is going to handle this. Media Day was such a big deal, and, you know, the old school Mountain West, when you go down to the Green Valley Ranch or wherever that thing was in Henderson, and it was just part of your summer plans, and Utah's off to the Pac-12, and you're thinking, okay, what's BYU going to do? And they put this thing together, and it has been – from day one, year one, it's been phenomenal. They've done a great job. And I know, you know, BYU's an easy target for a lot of things, and some of it's deserved and some of it's not. But one thing they've always done, first rate, and have knocked it out of the park every single year has been this media day.
They have. They've killed it. And you can see in the coverage and the response that they get, the players that they fly in and the events that they have.
We'll say this. The quality of food at BYU Media Day has always been really good, as opposed to the Pac-12, which started out good.
Started out amazing.
And now is abysmal.
Pac-12 Media Day is now a continental breakfast.
You're going to take that bagel that we stole from the Holiday Inn, and you're going to like it.
It's really sad how that spiraled down. They need to gather themselves. I'm hoping this new commissioner gathers himself and is like, you know what, we're going to bring Happy back. Bring Happy back to this whole event.
We're going to go to a 9-game conference or an 8-game conference schedule. We're going to fix this, and we're going to make football better, and we're going to feed the media better. Those are our goals.
Number one important thing.
Yeah. Got to know your audience.
Well, cut back on the facilities in San Francisco and improve the buffet for the media.
See? Boom, boom.
Important.
Right there.
Importance number one.
Draft day coming up tomorrow. Really fun day tomorrow. In fact, Unrivaled will start things off on our draft coverage at 3 o'clock. They will be at JCW's in South Jordan, just right across the street from Mulligan's off 106 South. So you can go down there, hang out, and when they wrap up at 6 o'clock, then you're going to have Ben Anderson, Jake Scott, and Tim Lacombe with draft night coverage. We'll take you through the first round, and I got a sneaking suspicion. I don't know if it's the first round, second round, but I feel pretty confident saying that the Jazz will acquire a player in some way, shape, or form throughout the draft coming up tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be a big splash or not, but I would be shocked if the Jazz do not come away with a player in tomorrow's NBA draft, whether it's just buying back in or whatever the case might be. It's going to be a fun day tomorrow for sure. Of course, keep your eye on Twitter, too, because it's trade season, folks. We might see a lot of shakeup going on with the Jazz. Can't wait. Unrivaled next. Hands and Scotty. This is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.